This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
They had these things called love-ins, where you all got together in a giant field and loved one another.
What?
And Chad P.
Oh, look at that. It's a house made out of coral. Yeah, who cares? We're late for the love-in. Let's go.
Class is in.
Rock and Roll, brought to you by Rock School on the Rock School Radio Network that's about to go global.
That's
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, we have an announcement for you. But first, the most important thing. My name is Joe Burns. The kid sitting next to me is...
My name is Chad P.
That's right. And you tipped it. You tipped it. Guess
what? That's what I'm trying to do.
We gave all of our lovely little podcasts, and we gave it off to a person who sits in a dark, dank, sort of musky-smelling room where an audio editor sits, and we said to him, turn these into something we can put onto iTunes. And he said, yes, sir, don't hit me again. And we said, I'll give you a smack. And he said, I'll turn him into iTunes for you. So guess what?
We're on iTunes.
We're on iTunes.
That's right.
You can, honest to goodness, go to your iTunes on the computorial device, search Rock School.
And there it is.
There will be. I don't really like the little image icon that we have, but we're going to change
that sooner or later. We're working on it.
You can now subscribe and get this thing onto your little listening thing, podcast, earphone device thing.
I'll just call it an iPod.
That's right. Yeah, iPod. I'm sorry. I'm old, ladies and gentlemen, so we're very happy.
Yes, indeed.
We hope it's going to get us around the world, not just here in the backyard, and of course, we're hoping to get more affiliates off of it, and we're just giddy, absolutely giddy about this.
You are.
We just wanted to tell everybody, so we're on iTunes. Hook up your iPodial device and listen to us.
Happy Mardi Gras, everyone.
Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Throw me something, mister. Today's your day.
What you mean?
We put together a show. You've pitched this show, I don't know how many times, that you wanted to do it, and we put it together.
Which one?
Songs in the News.
Thank you, and you said drummers couldn't get their way.
That's right. This is a show with songs that were written because of news stories.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of it.
Yep.
Let us begin.
Okay.
The Stone Temple Pilots from the 1993 album Core. The song's called Plush.
Oh, probably one of their most popular singles.
Not even a question. The lyrics were inspired in part by an unfortunate event that happened in their hometown of San Diego. A missing woman was found dead.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons she was found was because of, I don't know how else to say it, smell.
Okay.
Dogs
found her. Oh, because there's the line in that song, when the dogs begin to smell her.
That's right.
Scott Weiland wrote that based on this story?
Actually, the drummer, Eric Kreetz, K-R-E-T-Z, Kreetz, I think is how it's said, he wrote the lyrics in a hot tub, of course, rock star, you know, probably surrounded by a bevy of bathing beauties, after hearing the news. So the whole thing was basically created out of this story of a missing and then obviously found dead woman in San Diego, California.
Wow.
One more little interesting bit of information. Guitarists who have created or figured out how to play that introductory theme, which then runs through the remainder of the song,
yeah.
you it doesn't have anything to do with heavy metal. It's just really weird. Apparently, DeLeo, the guitarist, is a big fan of ragtime.
Uh-huh.
Really interesting. You don't hear this kind of chordal structure in rock music a whole lot. It's a ragtime chordal structure.
Huh.
I mean, Scott Joplin type stuff. Want to hear it?
Yeah, I do. Let me... I'm a big fan of this song, and I never knew where it came from. So if you're a fan of this song and you don't feel just a little bit creeped out now when you enjoy it, then something wrong with you.
That's right.
Plush.
On Rock School.
Gets out of that guitar. God, sounds good.
Can you still like the song now that you know what it's about and why the dogs begin to smell her and all of that? Does it bother you now?
I've said this before. I'm not a lyrics person.
Yeah.
I can just sit there and listen and enjoy the song for the music and the beat and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm good.
It doesn't. I tell my students, I also teach like film criticism and film history on this campus, and I've had students say to me, I wish I'd never taken your class. and I say, why? Didn't you like it? She says, no, I can't enjoy movies now because you explained to me all these ways I'm trying to be manipulated. You know, the movie's trying to make me cry. It's trying to make me, and now, you know, you listen to Rock School and I know what it means now, and I can't do it.
I had that problem for a little while. I took beginning television with you and we watched those documentaries, and you were like, why do you think they're shooting it at that angle? Why is that person doing an interview not looking into the camera?
So now
I couldn't watch television for like a month after that because I would go, oh, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. Ah, stop it. Just enjoy the show.
We're doing songs in the news here on Rock School. We move along to Peter Gabriel. This is from his third self-titled solo album. Games Without Frontiers is the song. What's it about?
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel wrote the song before the U.S. boycotted the Moscow Olympics in 1980.
Wait, what?
The whole song. Yeah, we boycotted the Moscow Olympics. You know, we'll teach you, shaking our fists.
I never knew that. That's the year I was born, but nobody ever told me that.
It basically is a song about adults acting like children. Now, it talks about other adults, but the basic germ of the song is... you know, adults acting like children. And it talks about certain people. Hitler and Enrico Fermi are denoted in it. There's the line that says, Suki plays with Leo, Sasha plays with Brit, Adolf builds a bonfire, Hitler, Enrico plays with it. There's Fermi. So the whole concept of the song was kicked off by adults, you know, we're upset at you politically, so we're not sending our athletes. So that's where it came from. Here's Peter Gabriel on Rock School. Peter Gabriel on Rock School.
Look, I'm a fan of Peter Gabriel, but don't put...
It's French.
I don't speak French either,
but so I'm only going to do it phonetically, and those who speak French... Je sais frontière. I believe that's it. Games Without Frontiers.
Say it again.
That's what I'm doing it phonetically.
No, I'm not picking. Say it
again. Je sais frontière. I believe that's what it is.
So you can imagine what I'm hearing. And I have a little mini heart attack because I'm like,
Oh, you think he's cursing?
Yes.
No, he's not.
I looked at you. What is that? Oh, he's speaking French. Ah, yes, because I speak fluent French and I know exactly what that is.
Now the next song actually has a curse word in it.
I'll take care of that.
But you know it's coming.
Yeah.
From the 1994 album Monster, as we do songs that came from the news, REM. What's the frequency, Kenneth?
I love this song. This is one of my all-time favorite songs.
You don't know where this came from?
It's got something to do with Dan Rather.
Right. In 1986, Dan Rather's walking around on a New York City sidewalk. He was known for going out and, you know, getting a hot dog, getting a hot pretzel. He really was. He was from a small town in Texas and never really went in for all of the, you know, let's eat, you know, $100 for a little blob of salad and little dots of, not Dan. He liked a big giant bowl of spaghetti. He was one of the, and a beer, you know, he's one of the guys. All right, let's go down and get a hot dog. And he goes out the front door of CBS, and this nut bar grabs him and yells, Kenneth, what's the frequency? Kenneth, what's the frequency? Ah! And then disappears. Now, that's the funny part.
Right.
There's actually a not-such-funny part that ends it. The guy turns out to be William Tager, T-A-G-E-R. He's actually caught 9 years later. Something's obviously wrong between the ears with this guy. He kills a stagehand outside of the Today Show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. He's now serving a 25-year sentence. He was convinced the media was beaming signals into his head, and he was on a mission to determine what the frequencies were.
Wow.
But
like
after
delusion of grandeur?
That's right. But after the, you know, Dan Rather incident and before he killed the stagehand, it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of REM, Michael Stipe in particular, decided to write a song about it.
Now, when did that guy go to prison? What year was it? Do you know?
Well, it's 86 it happened, plus nine years would take it up to 94, 95, so depending on what time of the year it happened. He's in for a while.
All right, Katie Couric,
yeah,
you better watch out.
Be concerned. Here's REM, Rock School. What's a frequency can at the show? You know, I never even knew that curse word was in there until you pointed it out to me. Yeah. I'll make you bet the audience didn't even hear that curse word go
through. Probably not. Probably not.
But
I'm
we'll
not
take care
you.
Of it.
I'm
we'll take care
you.
Of it.
You know
there
when
you
I found out?
What's
I
that?
Found out from a fellow DJ here at KSLU.
You played it, didn't you?
I played it a bunch of times.
Didn't even
Nobody
know it was
Nobody ever
there.
Caught it. It was a good friend of mine. Hey, you know, he says the F word in there toward the end. I went, where?
I have played Who Are You by The Who on my radio stations when I was a professional disc jockey. I'm telling you, I've played it 50 times.
They do it in there, too.
He says the F word twice in that song, and I've played it. I've also played Pink Floyd's Money, where he says, don't give me that true goody good bull. And I've played that through. And no one's ever blinked. But you know,
folks, we're human.
We're
human
very
beings.
Careful. No, we'll take care of it. When you hear it, it's already been taken care of.
Yep.
Got to take a break.
Yep.
Hello to everyone listening to us on iTunes. I hope you found us already, because we are on iTunes. And if you haven't already, pull up your iTunes device. Give us a search. Also, KSCL Shreveport. Thank you for running Rock School.
And Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. Hola, everyone. Thank you for running Rock School.
We're going to come back with a song that literally was the germ of the idea for this show. Neil Young. Let's Roll in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School. As we do a show, we've titled Songs in the News.
Mm-hmm.
It came right out of Chad's Gray Matter.
That's right.
Good idea.
Thank you.
These are all songs that were tipped by events in the news.
And this one is the one that inspired it.
Right. This is the germ of the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Neil Young, it was in 2001. It didn't come out on an album immediately. Yes,
nope.
You'll find it on compilations, but it was released as a single in 2001. It came about after hearing that Todd Beamer, one of the passengers who fought the hijackers and crashed into Shanksville, Pennsylvania, apparently Beamer called an airphone operator to explain that the passengers were going to fight and rush the terrorists. Before he hung up, he apparently turned away from the telephone to the other people who were going to be part of his, you know, what would you call it, posse, army, I guess.
Cavalry. Yeah.
Turned to them and said,
Let's roll. You know, and they came out with a movie. We were talking about the events of September 11th.
United 93.
Picked up on it. You saw the movie?
Oh, I show it in my film classes,
my wife,
both of them.
My wife and I watched it, and I said, and I was staring intently, and she said, What are you doing?
I'm
waiting for the line.
You know what?
I know he's going to say it. He better say it.
What drives me crazy about that movie is I know the ending, but the whole way through it, every time I watch it, I think to myself, end a different way.
Yeah, alternate ending, please.
I keep waiting for it, but obviously it can't.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Neil Young, Rock School. Go the song he put together for the ill-fated airliner United 93 on, of course, September 11th. Let's roll, ladies and gentlemen.
Didn't take him long to come out with that song either.
Well, I can't imagine. He wrote Ohio, from what I understand, in one sitting. He heard about the deaths at Kent State, took his guitar, walked into the forest, sat down, wrote it in a couple of hours and came back out.
And went to the forest and did it?
Oh, yeah. And just came back out, and there it was.
I mean, where are you going?
One fell swoop.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to write a song.
I'm going into the woods.
Yeah.
I'll be back when I have a song.
I'm not kidding. That's what I've read. He put the song together that quickly. Bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Time to recap the week that was. We call it 7 days in 70 seconds. Young man, do you have a music bed for me?
I do.
Hit it. Green Onion. Green Onion, Booker T, and the MGs. This is the week of February 23rd through March 1st, something that happened on each day in music history. Chad P., if you would, please.
I will. February 23rd in the year 2000, Mr. Carlos Santana received a record-tying 8 Grammys for the Supernatural album.
Wow. I mean, amazing to win that many. 1956, February 24th, Cleveland, Ohio, my hometown, invokes an ordinance barring minors from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult.
What? And you're
Mommy,
proud of that. That's
Mommy,
my hometown.
I want to dance. Go ahead.
February 25th in 1995, Lyle Lovett broke his collarbone riding a motorcycle in Mexico.
February 26, 1983, Michael Jackson's Thriller begins a 37-week run at number one.
Dude, that thing rocked. It really did.
It was.
February 27th in 1997, James Brown went on a talk show hosted by Rolanda White and asked her to marry him. And guess what, Doc?
She said no.
She said no.
That's right.
And he said, Zee-bop and doo-bop. Which translates into...
I feel bad.
I feel bad.
Yeah. On the February 28th, back in 1977, dig this, Ray Charles is attacked on stage by a man who tries to strangle him with a rope.
What?
Honest to goodness. And then on March 1st, while performing on stage in Switzerland, Bill Berry of REM suffers a brain aneurysm.
Yeesh.
And we get back to Songs in the News. That was 7 days and 70 seconds. This one comes from Radiohead from the album Hail to the Thief in 2003. You can probably tell just from the topic.
Yep.
He's a little upset at George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
The name of this song is 2 plus 2 equals 5. It's basically a song that's concerned with the fact that George Bush, quote, stole the 2000 U.S. election.
Wow.
Radiohead, Rock School. You know what?
What?
Why would you write a song that makes such a political statement and then do that? I have no idea what the heck he said.
Me neither.
I have no idea what he said.
Blip, 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 blip.
We move along from Radiohead to Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin wrote songs on things that happened?
Yeah, dig this.
Misty Mountain Hop. Now, some people probably know that the Misty Mountains are in Wales, okay? And if you listen to it, you probably hear some things in there that sound, you know, is that from, like, Lord of the Rings or Return of the King? Yeah, as a matter of fact. You know, Plant was a big fan of Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, and he used references from time to time from it. So what does Misty Mountain Hop reference? The song is about a love-in near London that was broken up by police.
A love in?
Yeah. I'm too young to remember these things. I was born in 64. But in the 60s, they had these things called love ins, where you all got together in a giant field and loved one another.
What?
Man, were
you
born in the wrong... Now, I don't know how far that word meant it went, or if you just sort of sat around and sort of felt good vibrations and such, or if it went as far as what have you, but that was the concept.
Good grief!
That's right.
Did lock-ins, where you spent the night at the skating rink.
No. You just basically got together in a giant field and had a love-in, and I'm sure there was other, you know, herbal remedies.
But this
was a love-in near London that was broken up, and the fine people of Led Zeppelin decided to write a song about it and lay over on top of it J.R.R. Tolkien's The Return of the King. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Led Zeppelin. Didn't think they were that deep, did you?
Nope.
There you go. Rock School. do you think? You want to set up a love-in?
Hey.
Not me and you, but, you know, see if we can't find other people.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you remember about, 43 minutes and 14 seconds ago?
Yes.
When you asked me if I looked at plush any differently because of what it means?
Yeah.
I'll never listen to this song again.
Misty Mountain Hop?
Not listen to it again. Let me rephrase that. I'll never be able to listen to this song again without recalling, you know, just imagining a feel. Let's move on, please.
I think the word hop takes on an entirely new.
Stop it!
Hey, congratulations, and thanks for running the show to KLSU Tiger Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
And also WESU in Middletown, Connecticut. Thank you so much for running Rock School. We appreciate it.
Back in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School. As we do a show, we're calling Songs in the News Chad's idea, and that's a good idea. It was only songs that are inspired by events that occurred in the news.
Yep.
Now, this one you've never heard, and I find that interesting because I always thought you were a Billy Idol fan.
I am a Billy Idol fan.
But this one you've not heard, huh?
No.
This is from his famous Whiplash Smile LP, because when you think Billy Idol, you might think like White Wedding first, but it's always that sneer, either first or second. This one's called Sweet 16. It's going to take me a second to get through it. The song was inspired by a true story. There's this guy. His name is Edward Leedskalnin. The last name is Leedskalnin, Leedskalnin.
Okay.
He was dumped by his fiance. Her name was Agnes Scuffs, the day before they were supposed to be married.
Ooh, that's not
That's a blow to the ego, yeah. He went a little cuckoo, and he built a place called Coral Castle in Homestead, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entire building with all the furniture, all the everything made out of coral.
Yeah, you said that before we went on the air.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to fool with coral.
Well, he
did. To leave it alone.
Well, he did. He built this whole thing out of it.
And a police officer never passed by and said, hey, what are you building that out of?
It was done in 1923. So we weren't all PC nutso.
Okay.
Apparently, his nickname for her was Sweet 16. There are now 25-minute audio tours that take you through the place. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. Sweet 16 was his nickname for her, and thus Billy Idol wrote the song. Sweet 16 on Rock School. Sweet 16 from Whiplash Smile.
Old House
Billy
Out of Coral.
Huh? Yeah, Old House Out of Coral. It's still there if you want to go down and see it. Some guy got dumped and decided to build a house.
You know, I didn't mean to make a big deal out of it. I did not realize that it was based in the 20s, that it happened in the
20s. Well, it doesn't make it any better to destroy the coral.
Well, no, I understand. But I'm saying, like, back then, back in the 20s, you could probably get away with a lot more stuff. You know,
sure.
Have that couple walking down the street. Oh, look at that. It's a house made out of coral. Yeah, who cares? We're late for the love-in. Let's go.
That's you. Very good. Very good. All right. We're going to finish up with one by Aerosmith. Janie's Got a Gun, but here's four we didn't get around to playing. London Calling on this, the show with Songs in the News.
A clash.
Right. The song, the title of the song, London Calling, comes from the BBC World News Service. They always started with This is London Calling.
Right.
It's about, you know, the nuclear era, where he says that. It's about Three Mile Island and the song, the line that says, London is drowning and I live by the river. He's talking about after a nuclear era, the Thames River would probably flood. It's okay. He lived in a high-rise apartment.
Okay.
We also brought Houston by REM, which was... it was written after First Lady Barbara Bush's caustic comments about the Hurricane Katrina victims who went to live in Texas.
Yeah.
And she said something to the effect of, I don't know what these people are so upset about. Look, they've got food. They've got a cot to live on. And, whoopee, don't do that. What else do we have here? American Skin by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. It's actually called American Skin 41 Shots. It's about a guy named Amadou Diallo who was killed in New York City while he was reaching for his wallet.
Reaching for his wallet.
Right.
Let me guess. Got shot 41
times? 41
times.
41 why?
Times.
I don't know the whole story why he was actually reaching. We also brought 18 in Life, which we played during two shows ago during the...
Power Ballad show.
But it was written by Skid Row's guitarist Snake Sabo after reading a local newspaper story about an 18-year-old boy who shot his friend by accident.
You got life.
Right, got life in prison. So 18 and life to go. Now, what is Janie's Got a Gun about? It isn't about a specific story. Aerosmith vocalist Steven Tyler said he came up with title and the melody long before he knew what direction he wanted the song to take. He said it took him 9 months to finish the lyrics because he just couldn't come up with anything. He wrote it and said, nah, no, and wrote, and nah, no, and threw it away. He read a Newsweek article on gunshot victims and somehow in his mind connected that to themes of child abuse and put the two of them together. He did, however, have to change it. There was a line in there that said he jacked a little bitty baby.
Mm-hmm.
The actual line was he raped a little bitty baby.
Yeah.
But it was changed. The people who produced it basically said to him, look, if we're going to release this as a single, a lot of radio stations aren't going to play it with the song Raped in there. So that line was changed, and the song shot up into the top 10. Everybody knows it.
After reading that Aerosmith autobiography book that you gave me,
yeah.
Steven Tyler, I give him his due, man. He is a brilliant songwriter.
Sure
but
is.
But the inspiration that he gets to write these songs comes from the most obscure places in the atmosphere.
Which is probably why the songs are so different than anything that's out there.
This is true.
That's it. All right, I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Look for us on iTunes. Class is dismissed. The sound.